Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And it is a new day and a new day for strength and reliance upon the Lord as we keep our emotions in check and pray for the Office of the President. And as a reminder that we as a nation have a destiny to reach of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations so that souls can be saved. And today I want to continue along our journey of following these prayer points in the Reordering Your Day book by Chuck Pierce. And today's, I feel like, is very special. And we have now what feels like as we enter into spring, entered into a new season and entered into a place where new strength is going to be needed in this season and ultimately coming from the Lord. And I want to start in Exodus 19. And in Exodus 19, we're seeing the Israelites come out of Egypt. Let me actually pull this up on the screen here. That they're coming out of Egypt and coming into a new land. They're still in the desert here in Sinai. And the Lord is telling them, let me blow this up. The Lord is telling them, look, we're going to, you know, consecrate yourself, clean yourself, and come. He's telling Moses to bring the people around the mountain. Let me blow this up. There we go. Bring people around the mountain so that we can hear the Lord speaking to Moses in this season to gain a new strength. And in verse 1, he starts off, he says, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, and on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And Israel camped in front of the mountain, Mount Sinai. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. And then he goes on and tells them to consecrate themselves, to prepare, to bring the people about. And then in verse 16, this is the verse I want to focus on, as we see here the continuing of, so it came about on the third day when it was morning. Again, this reordering our day of getting in the time and the watches of the Lord's so that our souls can be in the Lord's timing, be like the sons of Issachar, knowing the times and seasons. That there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled, and really causing them to have the fear of the Lord as they entered into this new land. And we obviously know from reading the rest of the scriptures that they didn't fully obey it, and that's the struggle that we all to this day still have to walk out. It is continuing to be obedient to the Lord and what he has called us to. And so now today we want to cry out and say, Lord, we cry out for your strength in this season to be in accordance with you. And Chuck Pierce goes on with his prayer point for this day, saying, ask the Lord to cause you to rise up with new strength and soar in a new way into the day ahead. And as we've seen now far as 2 months ago, the world is completely different. There is a new strength for that we need for the new day. Armies are rising up. There's wars and rumors of wars. And it's a time to fall back onto the hope of the Lord, onto the ever-revealing Word of God as to the times and seasons that we were in, to know what time we are in, rather than just saying and expecting, you know, the Lord to come back and take us where we are. He tells us to endure. So I want to start us off there as we enter into this new season of knowing that the Lord can provide us the strength that we need in times of weariness. For some that it may be with everything that's been going on the past 2 years. And look, this is still, but as we enter in, not even, we're coming into the second year of the Biden administration, we're seeing now that with the decisions that have been made, there's going to be needed time for even more reliance upon the Lord as we enter in. And so we now see new news coming out of Ukraine that now they're starting to call up their reservists, declaring a state of emergency in and around the regions of their border. They're not telling people to evacuate around the Donetsk region, ports there that are is a major port in the country, not to cause all-out fear. They are saying for those who are in Russia to come back from Russia, as there have been talks of ending diplomatic ties with Russia. And there are politicians and leaders and people who in and around Kiev are moving their families to safer regions of the country. And this is normal in a time of conflict like this, especially in Europe. You saw this in World War II. You see all the movies and everything where their families went out to the country, their families left, their families did that for a time of safety, because when conflict if conflict were to arise, they want to know that their families are safe. And Romania is talking about potentially being able to take in Ukrainian refugees if war were to break out. But I want to point this out is we continue on. We saw the resolve of the Ukrainian president yesterday from this last weekend of saying, look, we're going to fight and we're going to hold basically the countries who sign agreements, covenants with us accountable. And there's this big push now to come out and say, well, the Budapest memorandum wasn't an actual guarantee that people would come out. Okay, that's the case, but you still gave your word. You understood that Ukraine was giving up nuclear capabilities to supposedly make the world safer, and you made an agreement with them to back them up in case of a situation like this with Russia, and Russia themselves agreed to it, whether it was a full quote-unquote legal guarantee and all this stuff. Look, you made a promise that if this stuff were to happen, you would support them, and even NATO, talking about joining NATO. And the Ukrainian president said this, which I think is very resounding and showing the strength of the Ukrainian people. He said, we are on our land. We are not afraid of anything and anyone. We don't owe anything to anyone, and we will not give away anything to anyone. And we are confident of this. And continuing to talk about the nation's integrity and sovereignty, despite Russia's declarations and threats, supposedly of quote-unquote peace, he continues to call for talks, diplomatic talks with the NATO countries who he's trying to, you know, get them to own up to the supports and all these agreements that they've signed throughout the years. So we're seeing Ukraine be resolved, be strengthened in this season, knowing that they're potentially going to war. And no matter the cost, just like these truckers that are in Canada saying, no matter the cost, we're willing to fight this out to the end. It's that brave heart spirit. And the Ukrainian foreign minister came out and said something to back up what the president said. And just shows the strength and the resolve of the Ukrainian people. and ultimately telling the world, look, this can be averted. This can be stopped in regards to what Russia is doing. And let me blow it up a little bit here. Let me go back one more. Where he says, sorry, let me pull this back. I'll just read it. Oh, I lost it. There it is. Okay. He, Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmitry Kuleba said Tuesday, talking about Putin, it can be stopped if Ukraine and its allies act in a very reserved way and keep mounting pressures on the Russian leader. He says, what stops him is only our unity and resolve, and we can stop him. That they're being the leaders, because obviously no other world leader is. Talking about a news conference in Washington, urging the pressure against Ukraine should continue and to be stepped up. Ultimately, that Ukraine doesn't have plans to evacuate a port city around the Donetsk region of Ukraine. He says, we have two plans. Plan A, it is to utilize every tool of diplomacy to deter Russia and prevent further escalation. And if that fails, plan B is to fight for every inch of our land, and every city and every village, then to fight until we win, of course, which I think that shows the resolve. And then in a response to a question, somebody says, is if we've seen so far as a minor invasion and it only warrants lesser U.S. sanctions, he responded in saying that there's no such thing as a minor, middle, or major invasion. An invasion is an invasion. Calling out what's happening right now to what it is let's not try to scale it back. Let's not try to get people to dull down, lose senses. It's, look, this is happening, and we need to do something about it. And he's saying Europe needs to be resolved and standing together against Russia. Now, we see from our president now warning that with these sanctions that are coming on board, that Americans now need to be worried that they'll pay the pain. There'll be a pain at the pump, which possibly is so if the president continues to act the way he's acting and not opening up the pipeline and not opening up oil and gas leases here in America so that we can be energy independent as we were under President Trump. And from day one, actions have occurred from this president to put us in the position and put Europe in this position as they are now. I think it's very interesting to see Germany pull back completion and its certification of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, because that will hurt them in the long run. And Russia ambassador responds in saying that the sanctions don't really solve a thing, because ultimately they're going to go to China. Russia will. And he says it's hard to imagine that there's a person in Washington who expects Russia to revise its foreign policy under a threat of restrictions. I don't remember a single day when our country lived without any restrictions from the Western world. We have learned to work in such conditions and not only survive, but also to develop our state. There is no doubt that the sanctions introduced against us will hit global financial and energy markets. The United States will not be left out with its ordinary citizens feeling the consequences in the price. He also goes to talk about how in Europe they're going to be paying higher prices for gas as well, even after the decertifying process of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So there are things that are happening that I think show resolve to stand up to Russia. But at the end of the day, is there are things that can be done from the president, from the American oil and gas industry to benefit not only the U.S. economy, but the world, provide jobs for people in a time where jobs are needed, some security and foundation for the economy, not only of the United States, but of the world, to stop relying upon Russia in this season for what is going on. Now, another interesting thing I think we need to be aware of, and this kind of ties into another issue of yesterday, I talked about the speech from Ukraine's president about how he's calling people, basically holding them accountable for three times in history since 1994 Budapest Memorandum for not standing up to it and calling it a fourth time, saying we need to go forward with this. And Putin has responded in saying this. I think this is very interesting because this kind of ties into what's really going on behind the scenes, what's been happening. Putin responded to what the Ukrainian president said, suggesting that Ukraine could pursue nuclear weapons by saying that it's not just bragging as far as from Ukraine. He says Ukraine has a nuclear technologies created back in the Soviet times and delivery vehicles for such weapons, including aircraft, as well as a Soviet design Taka-U precision tactical missiles with a range of over 100 kilometers, but they can do more. It is only a matter of time. They have had only the groundwork for this since the Soviet era. In other words, acquiring tactical nuclear weapons will be much easier for Ukraine than for some other states that I'm not going to mention here. Remember that. He understands, Putin understands, with the world focus on Ukraine, there's something else going over here in the Middle East with Persia and Iran. And if you remember back a couple weeks ago, I briefly talked about it, about how Iran foreign leaders and Putin met in Moscow to discuss what? We don't know. And now Putin is hinting at the threat of Ukraine getting back nuclear capabilities. Very interesting. Okay. He's talking about, continuing on, he says, which are conducting such research, the other states, Iran, especially if Kiev receives foreign technology support, i.e. from the US, other countries, we cannot rule this out either. If Ukraine acquires weapons of mass destruction, the situation in the world and in Europe will drastically change, especially for us, for Russia. We cannot but react to this real danger. And all more so since, let me repeat, Ukraine's Western patrons may help it acquire these weapons to create yet another threat to our country. So he's using this as a threat of why he wants to go in, why he wants to invade Ukraine, why he wants, and this is also if he can capture those capabilities. Therefore, he makes himself a stronger country by having these weapons of mass destruction. Could he possibly give that technology to Iran? I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying that's his plan, but it's up in the air. So we want to, number one, pray for wisdom for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord when dealing with Ukraine and Russia. But then also, this kind of ties into something that's not really being reported about right now, is that the U.S. and other foreign leaders, countries with Iran, are near a return to the Iran nuclear deal, which is just utterly disastrous. And the powers that be want to get this done before the end of February, next week. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Iran and U.S. and other world powers are nearing a deal to revive the deal, although Iran is pretty much almost at the capability of being able to produce their own nuclear weapons. Now, whether they'll be effective or not is a different story, but they have the capability. So the agreement could possibly finalize in Vienna in the next couple of days. And this was written on Monday, said officials involved with the talks. And again, President Biden has made restoring this goal his top foreign policy goal. He believes that this agreement will neutralize Iran and help the Middle East be somewhat stable. Completely and utterly false. It was false under Obama. That's why Trump pulled out of it. It's very interesting to see how this article is written. It said, while the terms of a restored deal would be almost identical to the 2015 pact, Iran's breakout time, the duration needed to amass enough nuclear fuel for a bomb, could fall to as low as 6 months, down from about a year in the original deal. U.S. official says that is because, quote unquote, of expertise that Iran has gained through its nuclear work since the U.S. exited the agreement. No, that's false. Iran was going to get that capability whether they were in the agreement or out of the agreement. It's nothing to do with it. Nothing about this deal prevented Iran from being able to continue to work on Its centrifuges and capability, nuclear capability, nothing prevented that. It was known before this deal was signed, and it's known to this day. Israel exposed that even until now, through being able to enter in and gain state secrets in Iran. And look, the sanctions have hurt. The whole reason Iran wants to get involved back in this agreement is so that the sanctions that President Trump put on Iran would be removed so that their economy can begin to flow. The powers that be can continue to siphon off that money from the people, be able to buy, trade, sell openly, gain more secrets to be able to potentially get faster capability to produce a nuclear bomb. And that's a fear that Putin has about Ukraine. Very interesting. So let's keep an eye open on that. And let's intercede for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord on this issue and to stand with Israel on the Iran nuclear deal, because this will continue to destabilize the Middle East. And what Trump did was so strong and powerful with creating these partnerships with Israel and all those Middle Eastern countries, because those countries are tired of Iran being in the position that has been, causing terror, causing destruction and chaos in the region as well. And this is a little known story that's not being talked about at all, with everything that's happening with Ukraine and Canada and our southern border and COVID and this and that, is we're losing sight of a bigger threat over here with Iran. So let's stay focused on this issue, as in the coming days, it is the push for world leaders from not only the U.S., but from the U.K., France, Germany, Russia, and China as well, to push to get this deal done, to lift. This is a statement from Iran's president. The U.S. must prove its will to lift major sanctions. It wants the sanctions lifted. That's the only reason they want to get into this deal. Not because they don't want to be able to produce nuclear weapons. They want the sanctions lifted so their economy can continue to flow. They can start doing things in the open market to gain these capabilities. They're telling you exactly what's going on. And for the administration to ignore this is very alarming. And that's why we need to pray that they have the wisdom and fear of the Lord to see what's going on right in front of their very eyes. All right. And then the last few things, this one's just kind of an update. So we've seen what's going on with Canada and their truckers and the just complete government overreach in that. And now there's a movement in the United States for truckers to go to Washington, D.C. and do something similar. I don't know if it'll have the same effect, but we'll see. And as long as they're peaceful, nothing wrong with it. They have every right to do that. And now the Pentagon has talked about their deploying 700 members of the National Guard in and around Washington, D.C. Before and even after the State of the Union address next week from President Biden, off of quote-unquote fears that something will happen. What? They don't know. Because there's been no real threats from the truckers here in the United States, but they don't want what is happening in Ottawa to happen here. So something to pay attention to. And look at what happened in Canada involved in this situation, and something very interesting to see what's going to happen in the United States. And then last thing, probably should talk about this earlier, started off with this, but this is very alarming. The CDC has now lowered its speech standards for children. And the reason that this is important is that the American Academy of Pediatrics looks towards the CDC standards to tell parents how developmentally their children are coming along. And what's happening now is they're lowering the standards of children to be able to learn education milestones at an early age. And they're saying, oh, you can make it up later. History has shown that that is not true, which is why people graduate high school still being unable to read in certain districts of the country. But this is very alarming because a lot of this could have been prevented and still could be prevented. If you remove masks from schools, allow students to be able to see the parent as teachers' mouths move, that's a huge developmental milestone for them. And this really hurts this next generation. If parents were to continue to abide by this. And this is one of the things we need to pray for parents to have the strength of the Lord, because you can't always listen to the quote unquote experts, your pediatrician, you go, oh, he's developing right. You know, we're dealing with that. They look at the CDC and they say, okay, they look at the APA, they say AAP, and they say, oh, these standards, okay, he's doing fine. Don't worry about it, blah, 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 et cetera. This is very alarming for the next generation of these children who are in this range. And the CDC, that what they've done is they've added two child development milestones at 15 and 30 months. When they were expected to know 50 words, but now with the new update, it is from 24 months is when they're supposed to know 50 words. And now they say, well, no, it's 30 months, lowering the established standards for speech development. And there's also a development that they don't really care too much about crawling. They only focus on walking, even at a later stage. There's a whole other bunch of milestones that are going on in all of this. This comes from they're standing with the agreement from teachers unions that, you know, masks need to be on in schools, because what they're seeing is children in kindergarten, preschool, and all this stuff, their development is slower because of the masks, because they're not able to interact and being forced to communicate. They're being silenced with the mask. And now these are the times that it's most crucial. And the reason this is important is this article, and even my wife, who has studied early childhood development and has a master's degree in it, talks about how it's better to deal with these speech problems early because the children can overcome them earlier. Whereas if you continue to let it go on, it's a bigger hurdle for them to go along because they feel like, oh, well, this is correct. The not being able to communicate or communicate it a wrong way, whatever the case may be, is if they establish that as a milestone within their development, then it'll be harder for them to overcome. And so this is what's huge, this not being talked about. And there's some mothers, my wife especially, pointed out to me this weekend that a lot of mothers are very upset about this, parents as well. There are advocacy groups that actually agree with this, this is alarming that this would go on. And it's just all around the mandates and the masking and all this stuff. Even though we've seen the evidence of this, that this has been alarming to children in out of school who don't, number one, interact, socialize with people. Those are in school, not seeing their teacher communicate, move their mouth so that they understand how to enunciate words. So this is very alarming. And one of the things we want to repent for, giving the education system over to Caesar, and intercede for parents to continue to get involved, to take back the education mountain for the Lord, for this next generation. And maybe there's somebody who needs to set new standards. I don't know. We'll see. But this is very alarming to see the dumbing down of society, the not only coddling of the American mind and the children's mind, but coddling of the teacher's mind to be able to do what they deem they feel is best, not looking at the evidence, not looking at what is best for the children, despite having no risks for children for COVID. And so very alarming, something we need to stand on the wall for. So I'll close with that. Apologize about the delay earlier. I don't know what happened. I have to use Google Chrome for this platform. It just shut off, but I'll put this up on podcast. I'll edit out the brief time that we were offline. And don't forget, we have our noon prayer today on an appeal to heaven, praying for that with our olive students. And also tonight, continuing on our healing and deliverance service as we continue to go through scripture and talk about the importance of dealing with our heart issues, dealing with those things and sins and iniquities, so that we can be healed, delivered, and be a temple of the Holy Spirit with us, and make sure we don't leak when we continue to overcome things and not have it something to be that is an iniquity that goes on for the rest of our life. So with that, I thank each and every one of you. Again, noon prayer today, appeal to heaven, and tonight at 6:30, 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern time for our healing and deliverance service. And I will be back tomorrow as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.